she won't listen to their pop. Sarah Palin's coming south to hunt some skunk. Sarah Palin, she'll throw them all in jail. And when she gets to Washington, it'll be cold as hell.
And welcome to the Other Inner Side Radio Extravaganza. My name is Scooter. I'll be sitting in for Glenn Urbach this evening with my co-host Garfield. I'll be filling one of Glenn's shoes. Garfield will be in the other. Two left shoes?
Maybe three.
Well, we won't be dancing tonight, so yeah, dancing on the radio doesn't work. So, and we have a very special treat for you this evening on this ground-shaking, up-to-the-minute eyewitness edition of the Other Side, Inner Side Radio Extravaganza live news breaking halftime show report. Live in the studio, we have a diverse cross-section of folks representing for the Houston atheist community. Atheists in Houston, you query? Yeah, quite a few, actually. We're everywhere. We have the entire KPFT green room full of them. And they are sharpening their horns and polishing their hooves as we speak. You can even detect a hint of brimstone and sulfur in the air. Oh, wait a minute. I think that was me. Sorry. It was those donuts. It was those donuts from that Kirsten left in here. I thought Jeff Berg was making that up, but it's real. You know, he carries around a suitcase of those things. I get paranoid around donuts. Hey, Garfield, what do you think about when you see donuts?
Man, I love them things, man. I like donuts.
Cops. We're infiltrated. What else is new? All right, anyway, on the groundbreaking, up-to-the-minute eyewitness edition of the Other Side, Inner Side Radio Extravaganza live news breaking halftime show report. We try to keep it a little rough around the edges so they don't take us too seriously. Stay under the radar. But make no mistake, we are serious. Seriously corny. So, what is an atheist? We are not religious. We have read the material. We have heard the stories, and we're not buying it. It's pretty simple. Just like when you turn on the TV or pick up a newspaper, you go, no way, no way. So that's us. It's not that complicated. Is atheism another religion? No. Not collecting stamps is not a hobby. Bald is not a hair color. Mostly we atheists have no problems with people's beliefs or rituals. We're not mad at God or any other imaginary deity. It's the believers that give us pause, and their activity is what we organize to oppose. So, for example, just 3 days ago, speaking of Martin Luther King Day, in the very church where Dr. King once pastored, the new Alabama governor, Robert Bentley, gave a speech in which he said, "Those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior are not his brothers." Bentley spoke at the Dexter Avenue King Memorial Baptist Church. This is the governor in Montgomery, just minutes after taking the oath of office on Monday. "I'm colorblind," said Bentley. But Bentley then said, "Only those who are Christians and saved like he is are his brothers and his sisters." Quote, "Now, I will have to say that if we don't have the same daddy, we're not brothers and sisters," he said. "Anybody here today who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'm telling you, you are not my brother and you are not my sister. I want to be your brother." Well, guess what? I don't really want to be your brother, pal, you know? I mean, I got my own family, and I guarantee you I am not related to any Neanderthal, knuckle-dragging, redneck jerk-offs like you. So, you know, go screw yourself. But it's crap like this that this is why we organize. And sue people and, you know, put ourselves forward, kind of fight this kind of attitude. And because, you know, we live in a secular society. People are free to practice religion. Just, you know, don't take over the government. Okay, so let's go to the phone calls. And you can ask for somebody by name or just have at us, and we'll try and figure out how to answer that. So line one, you're on the air.
This program was pre-recorded. Please do not call in.
Yes. Hello. Good evening. My question is, I'm not trying to be judgmental at all. Just a real curious, honest, curious question. Since you don't believe in God, I assume you don't believe in a creator. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. My question is, how do you think everything that exists, whether they're, you're talking about people, the universe, the matter, where did that come from? How did it, what was its origin?
This is Sasha talking. With all due respect, sir, I think that argument's absolutely irrelevant to the fact of whether whether there is or isn't a God. The world got here somehow, but we don't see any evidence for a God in it.
What I'm getting at is, if you had nothingness, if nothingness existed, and out of that nothingness came something, how can something come from nothing?
Well, this is a really great question because it comes up so often, I think, to atheists. Is, oh, well, how do you explain where everything came from? We don't know. The difference between, I think, a religious person and perhaps an atheist or skeptical atheist, if you were to really, again, be technical, is that we're not afraid to say we don't know. We have some ideas, but, you know, we're still trying to work on that.
It is just impossible by any standard to any degree for something to come from nothing unless acted upon by an outside force.
Sophia has something to say about turtles all the way down.
I want to ask you something. You say that something can't come out of nothing. So if something can't come out of nothing, how did God manage to come out of nothing? Where did God come from?
But that's why there is a God. That's why God is God. Because God is outside the realm of these rules that we're talking about, because he's the creator of God is the creator of these rules. That's why, by definition, that's why there has to be a God.
No, what you did was you're defining God by using God to describe God. So you're not saying that. The word defining, you said there's God because there's a God because there's a God. That's
No, that's not what I said. The lady asked me that since nothing can, it's impossible for something to come out of nothingness, then where did God come from? And all I'm trying to explain is that very question explains the necessity of the existence of God.
Which, of course, you have evidence for.
That's a great question, like we said. And we have a full board, so we got to go.
Okay,
but I really appreciate you calling.
And I appreciate your discussion. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, number one, you're on the air.
Okay, well, I want to say first that I am going to pray for your souls. I don't know if you're aware. I don't know. There's a thing called the Bible, which is God's word. And in the Bible, it clearly states that non-believers, such as yourself, will spend an eternity burning in hell with the rest of the non-believers.
Sir, I believed that for 35 years, and I'm so glad I don't anymore. You wouldn't believe me.
Ma'am, you are going to burn in hell if you do not repent right now and get off the phone, get on your knees, pray to the Lord above.
I'll believe it when I see it. Thank you.
All right, well.
Excuse me. I am not done here.
Go ahead.
I want the people in the studio to hold hands, and we are going to say a prayer over the air.
We've been doing that the whole time.
But we took
our clothes off first.
Dear God, may these people not burn in hell in eternity. Let them see the light of the Lord. Let them give their money to the church. And let them go out and praise your word.
It also says in the Bible, speak of the devil and he shall appear. So thank you. Line number five, you're on the air.
I want to say it was a troll.
Okay, I got a quick definition of atheism. Okay, our universe was born, but just like there's something as small as atoms or as big as our universe, I think that there are things that are smaller than atoms, and I think that there are things that are bigger, a lot bigger than our universe. To me, in my mind, the way I see it, I think our universe is probably, compared to what's out there, our universe is probably as small as a cell in our body, you know, like in our body. Our universe, like everything rotates around. You got an atom, you got the nucleus, you got the electrons that rotate around it. You got the sun, you got the planets that rotate around it. You got the galaxy that has rotation. And you have our universe that's probably an expanding bubble circular that's rotating, and it's probably right next to another universe that's just like a cell that is, you know, living right next to another cell that's a part of a larger body that is a part of a some kind of, I don't know, creature that's just ginormous. And that creature doesn't even know we exist, but that creature created us.
I've actually come across this theory in my own head. I call it the stoner's version of the unified field theory.
Is that a bad thing?
No, it's great. I like it.
I'm reminded of the ending of Men in Black, where you see the Earth being pulled into, and it's just a
it's just a marble that someone's playing with. You know what I mean? It's like
exactly.
We don't know what created us, but something did create us. Yes, there is a creator.
Uh-oh, you just leaped the faith there.
Well, while we're doing thought experimentation, we might as well throw that in too, right?
No, it seems like people don't understand. What is the thing in this world that makes people most powerful? It's having secrets. The secrets to what created us. And if someone created fire back in the day and they didn't tell anybody how to do it and they were the only ones who knew how to create it, they were the most powerful person. The secrets of the truth. And I really don't think in my lifetime I'm going to ever figure out what the exact truth is. But there's a truth out there about what really created us. And if you don't stop our, mindless just... stupid things we do every day.
I smoke two joints when I play video games. And at every 10,000 points, I smoke two joints. I smoke two joints in time of peace and two in time of war. I smoke two joints before I smoke two joints. And then I smoke two more.
Start searching outside our universe to find the truth. We need to really invest in our NASA program, and I don't think there's a conspiracy, but I think that the defunding of NASA, we live in Houston here, and I'm pissed off that there's not more funding for NASA to figure out what the heck is out there. And like the defunding of it just makes me really upset, because we need to keep pursuing that as a human race. I think most of all.
Thanks for that. And we're listening. It's cool. But we have to change to another panel. So you're on the line. Hold. Brian on three. What's up, Brian?
Yes. How are you doing?
Okay.
seems to me that you're kind of oppressed in your knowledge and what you're speaking about in religion. Tonight's topic is basically Christian religion, but you don't want to see this in society? Is this a topic of what's going on?
No, we don't believe that that any... anything that you basically is not tangible should affect, laws or education or teaching, and it doesn't matter what religion it is, no. You mock what you know best, essentially, and we're Americans, and that's the dominant religion, so...
Yeah, so you degraded, Jesus as the Savior, correct?
I wouldn't use the word degraded. I just would say don't think he is.
Okay. All right, well, we won't use the word degraded yet. How about Muhammad? Now, is he the same prophet as Jesus Christ or God or something like that?
I don't think even... I've studied Islam quite a bit. Half of my family is Muslim. And I don't believe any of them believe that he is anything like Christians believe Jesus to be. I believe they believe he is a prophet, only a prophet. Now, the last prophet, and a very special prophet, but only a prophet. I also disagree with that.
Back up here. A prophet, but a very special prophet?
Yeah, in Islam he's special because he's last.
You have just not put Muhammad on the same plane as Jesus Christ.
No, for me, they're both human beings, so in that regard, perhaps. But Islam does not see him as the same way Christians see Jesus. Christians see Jesus as God, and it's blasphemy in Islam to consider Muhammad God. That would be blasphemy.
Oh, yeah. So we're getting to the point here, correct? There is a difference in religion, and you will accept Muslims, you will not accept...
I think both are wrong. I just think they are not the same.
Now, I think that I can speak for most of it, that we really don't care about what people think with their little Bo Peep comic book religions, you know. Couldn't care less. And actually, whether these human beings actually ever existed, I don't really have problems with the person of Jesus or the person of Muhammad. It's the fundamentalist followers that are total jackasses. They need breaks on them, and that's why we're here.
Okay, back to the woman that practices, or did at one time practice, faith of Islam.
Okay, actually, right. I studied it. I studied for many years, and half of my family is Muslim.
And the other half is?
Christian. With two Buddhists thrown in.
Cool.
I love the Buddhists.
That's a good hand in poker.
So... I totally understand your confusion on...
It's actually not confusion. I actually studied quite a bit. I was a theology student for many years. I don't feel confused. I've read the Bible, many translations. I actually studied Greek and read a lot of the New Testament in the original Greek, and I've read it in English. And I also took Latin and studied parts of the New Testament in Latin. And I've read all of the Old Testament several times in English. I've attended many lectures. I have read translations of the Quran and participated in many classes on Islam, as well as a few other religions. And the more I studied, the less I believed. And eventually I came to the point where I believed all of them were wrong.
Well yes, I'm not doubting that whatsoever. I guess what I'm bringing up is, here in the United States, everyone can degrade the Christian faith. But everyone has an utmost fear saying anything about Islam.
You're projecting. I'm afraid of no Islam.
Actually,
screw Islam.
You haven't heard me made any negative comments about that are, you know, really mean or nasty towards Christianity. I just disagree with it. I hold them both as equal. Either one is, in my opinion, both of them are wrong. So it really doesn't matter which one. In general, I try to speak respectfully to all people, and I understand there are a lot of good people who believe in religion, and I have no problem with that. I can love the people but reject the religion. That's okay.
I think a lot of Christians have a hard time with Islam, and they're trying to be respectful of the religion that their own religion of Christianity tells them not to respect, and they have a hard inner struggle with that. They are trying to be respectful of religion that their own religion tells them to disagree with.
A lot of the news TV and stuff, especially like after 9/11 and everything, it really got really anti-Muslim.
Let me interject here for a second. I don't read the Bible. I don't follow it. But I don't believe there's anything in the Bible that I've read that says that a infidel needs to be killed. But I have read this about 167 times in the Quran.
Well, you'd read those.
Go ahead and read. It's there. Yeah, it may not use the word infidel, because it's translated differently.
Ma'am, I have the Quran right in front of me. Okay.
No, I'm just saying in the Bible there are things that are equivalent to that. That they basically do say things about killing people who disagree and don't believe. Yeah, there
actually,
are things.
Actually, on almost every chapter, right?
Yes, well, not every. There are some that are quite mild, and some that are. You know, not at all violent, but there are some that are.
And aren't they very explicit about killing every man, woman, child, and all the animals, except for the virgins, which you can have for yourself? There's your Bible for you there, John.
The Quran.
No, it's not. It's in the Old Testament.
Of the Quran
I don't know enough about the Bible to exist.
I could tell.
But I know that there is a difference in the difference of the wording.
Well, just read the Old Testament, for real. Read the Old Testament. It's very interesting. But there is some push towards violence there. There are things that are very blatantly said that are violent. These are less likely, perhaps, to be read to a congregation because they don't make for nice, emotional, uplifting sermons. But they're there. Just go ahead and read the Old Testament. It's very interesting, but you'll find a lot of violence there and a lot of pro-violence there. God-sanctioned violence, if you want to look at it that way.
Okay.
Am I still on the air?
Yeah, yeah. Give us one last onslaught, and then we're going to move on.
Okay. In the Quran, there's a difference. If you are not accepted, then you're not one of them, okay? You're not one of us. If anyone wants to pick a page in the Quran, get it translated, you will find out that it says do bad things to infidels. Infidels meaning us. We are not one of them, so we are...
Do you know about the Spanish Inquisition?
Yes. Do you know what started the Spanish Inquisition?
Monty Python.
No. Very funny, Scooter. No. The Muslims began to overrun...
Are you sure you got that right?
No.
Yes, please go back in history.
Are you sure you're not talking about the Jews?
The
Spanish Inquisition was primarily about Jews, not Muslims.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I missed the point here.
The Spanish Inquisition was led by people's interpretation and the reading of the Bible, and it was very violent, and it was very much us against them. We're not being one, not all people being one. But it was against the Jews. It wasn't against the Muslims.
Yes. And can you say about the same thing that is happening right now today?
Yeah. Most religions consider one group an inside group and another group an outside group. And sometimes will do violence against that other group at various times. Not all individuals in that religion, but some will. And many will use their religious text to justify it. But again, not all.
Okay, Brian, thanks for your input. We got to move on. Okay.
Oh, well.
It's good sentiment.
It's good. Hey, any comments on love?
Love is great.
I don't think that we need religion as an excuse for loving one another. I mean,
that's a new religion, love. Big love.
Well, I think religion borrows that concept from our, you know, just the way we think as human beings. It's not religion giving us love as if it was something we never thought of before. Because we are fundamentally a social species and we rely on one another, and it's important to get along with the fellow members of your tribe.
Well, I think we have to ask the very important question, what is love? And the answer is, baby, don't hurt me no more. Sorry.
I'm finding it very hard to love you right now.
Yeah,
oh, really?
No. I probably deserve that.
Yeah, and so much more. I'll speak to you after the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. That'll probably be violent.
You know, while you're down on your knees there, do me a favor. Line number three, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hi. If you're an atheist, I don't know, like, the definition, you know, of an atheist, like, per se, but...
The definition of an atheist is somebody who doesn't have a God belief. However okay. they came by it, or however they, you know, whether they used to believe or have a belief in God.
Okay. Okay. That's pretty broad. Okay. What is the purpose of morality if you are an atheist? Why? Why believe... in upholding morals? Because if I wasn't a Christian, I'm going to be honest with you guys, I would probably be a Satanist and an anarchist. Because I'm like, F the man, and I can't stand the system. But that's just me.
That's the only thing holding you back. you are just barely contained. If it weren't for the fact that you had read some passages from the Bible, then you would be slaughtering innocents and setting fire to the greater Houston
Maybe.
Area.
Maybe. I think, well, honestly, like, my heart has changed a lot to where I can actually, like, love people, you know, but that's good. Something that I feel like God has done for me. But I want to hear you guys, you know, why morality? What's the point of morality, you guys? Why do you guys believe in having, like, you know,
well,
morals?
Basically, because it would be really terrible if we didn't.
You're right.
Can you imagine what the world would be if we didn't adhere to certain basic standards of behavior? We just don't need God to tell us to do that stuff.
But who cares? Like, why do you care about somebody else?
Because we care.
I could tell you what morality is. Morality is a strategy. And it's a strategy that we use so that we can all work together and not kill each other, not steal from each other. And
definitely.
That we, and if we didn't have that, had not developed that strategy, we wouldn't be here. So we are a product of a successful strategy that we call caring. Maybe it's evolution.
Morality is something that we developed as a species over time. The way we relate to one another is something that is by necessity. If we weren't, when we were evolving, if we were opportunistic and, you know, taking every chance that we had to stab one another in the back and do vile things to one another, we wouldn't have been very successful as a species. And so now, I mean, we have these feelings that are innate in us. We tend to be very compassionate towards those people who are close to us, and it is something that is most notable in terms of the way we deal with our family members and close friends, and then people who are part of our tribe, however we define that, people that come from our hometowns, people that we deal with on a daily basis at work. It goes further and further out. We have sort of concentric rings of compassion for people around us. It's not something that we need to be taught by religion.
Line two, you're on the air.
Hey, the reason why I vacillate between agnosticism and atheism is because I honestly don't really know. I tend to think that there is nothing out there, but that kind of bothers me to know that we might be alone. But which brings me to the topic of a film I saw in the mid-1980s. It was late night on Channel 13, I believe, and I wish I knew the name of this movie. I can't remember what it was, but it had no human actors in it. It was a full-length feature film, and the camera was set inside of what turned out to be an alien aircraft that landed on Earth long time ago. And inside the aircraft, they had the controls that resembled the hieroglyphics we see in the Egyptian pyramids. Are you all familiar with this movie?
There's a lot like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, the basic premise of this movie, when you see it, when you get halfway through, you realize what they're saying is they think that human beings, and I kind of always suspected this too, so I was really freaked out when I saw this movie that someone else thought about this. It's that human beings, we don't really evolve on Earth, that we are the result of, we're a hybrid race, that we're the result of some alien mixing of alien genes with that of apes or some kind of other ape-like creature here on Earth, and that we evolved from that, and that's why we have both human beings and we have apes on Earth.
I have just the religion for you. It's an atheist religion, and they're called Raelians, R-A-E-L-I-A-N-S, and that is their belief system.
Are you pulling my leg?
No, I'm not. Raelians, they're out there, yeah. They're for real. Okay, we call them non-skeptical atheists. So, anyway, Johnny, thanks. We got to go next call, buddy.
One last thing for you to tell these Yahoos that call in and like to challenge. You know, what bothers me is that we have bookstores and libraries and universities filled with all kinds of books on music, art, literature, history, science, and some of them are questionable because you have the influence of the GOP. But all these books that we have that we put our human knowledge and experience in, but yet we're supposed to believe one Yahoo that comes up to the door with a little black book.
Johnny.
And we don't even know who wrote that damn thing.
Johnny, why read a bunch of difficult books when you can read one real easy one? All right,
yeah.
I'll talk to you later.
The proceeding was edited down from a two-hour live program aired on KPFT Pacifica Radio on January 21st, featuring a variety of guests from the Houston atheist community. The original program can be heard in its entirety posted at the Innerside Radio website under program number 302. Simply Google The Inner Side. My name is Scooter, and I'll see y'all next week.